Well, hello, everybody. We are here on KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7. And of course, as many of you folks have been listening over the last week to a week and a half, we've been preparing for the fall season. And the big question was, what will the fall season look like? And a lot of those questions are starting to be answered. And with the Minnesota State High School League meeting one Tuesday ago, about a week ago now, I know that they really were able to clarify many things for not just the athletic directors trying to plan the season, but also for student athletes and their parents just wondering what's going to happen. Tim Layton is joining us from the Minnesota State High School League, and Tim has a big stake in the Minnesota State High School League as is the communications coordinator, but he's also the music coordinator too, which is kind of cool. So we might talk a little bit about music too. I don't know, but Tim and I are going to talk all sorts of fun regarding what happened last week, how that will impact some of our kids here as we go throughout the fall. First of all, Tim, thanks for joining us, and good morning.
Well, and good morning to you as well, Radio Tuck. That's my nickname I have given you, knowing you for many years, and it's always great to visit with you and your listenership.
It is just wonderful to have you aboard, too, and you guys have been so busy at the State High School League, really not just now. I mean, you go back to March, and I know when Eric Martins and I talked during the infancy of the COVID situation, he was able to get into a lot of the things that you were meeting about back then, but since that point, our ability to figure out a little bit of how to maybe dodge the virus a little bit, or how to get our kids back out, whether it's youth sports, high school camps, things of that nature, and now you and the rest of the league board were able to establish a little more guidance for everybody, and I think that's much appreciated. What came about last week, Tim, that you could share with us that really seems to put our kids in the right spot here this fall?
Well, you're absolutely right in recapping your discussion with Eric Martins. This has been a time period that we've never seen before. This summer season has been a period of time that we've never experienced before. It's not about summer vacations anymore. It's about trying to come to a solution as to what can we do as a state association to help our 525 member schools with their participants and be able to give them co-curricular activities. So as we know, last Tuesday, August the 4th, our board of directors met to provide some guidance to our member schools. And they took the recommendation of a return to participation task force in establishing how to proceed, how to best have activities in a safe and healthy environment. And to do that, the task force had some guiding principles that they used in assembling the return to participation. And if I could share with you and your listeners, here were those guiding principles. They wanted to prioritize the health and the safety for all of those to the greatest extent possible. They wanted to make sure that they aligned with state organizations and agencies around the return to learn models. That's very important because, as you recall, the return to participation announcement came after Governor Walz shared his return to learning model. The task force also used as a guiding principle a provide an opportunity for education-based participation in each and every sport and activity. And of course, we want to demonstrate equity and fairness, acknowledge the financial implications of it, and to be able to apply the guidelines consistently. So the task force used that in their recommendation to the full board of directors, and the approved fall sports seasons came about this way. There's going to be girls tennis, there will be boys and girls soccer, there will be girls swimming and diving, and boys and girls cross country. Now, the headline of all of this perhaps was the movement of football and volleyball to a newly created season in the spring.
And I think that actually, Tim, is going to be something where you give the football and volleyball teams, which have the most risk, an opportunity to kind of, I don't want to say sidestep it, because I don't think we're going to be sidestepping the virus, if you will, but it'll give us some more time to figure out how we can establish that type of a season. It isn't like we're putting the seasons away. I've heard, you know, different people saying, well, they're getting rid of football or no, they're not. And it's a thing where you're going to structure it season-wise that kids won't have to choose, which I think is absolutely wonderful. And as you and I were talking off the air, Tim, and I know Phil Kimmel and I talked about this late last week, is there might be more than a few four-sport athlete kids that are going to come out for other sports now in the fall, which makes for a great problem for any of our schools here within Minnesota.
Absolutely. And we're getting reports from member schools where participation registrations in cross country and in boys and girls soccer and in tennis are suddenly now on the rise because they have an opportunity. With the volleyball and football seasons being pushed to the newly created spring season, the opportunities to be a four-sport athlete are now there. And so that's the silver lining to this, and it's certainly a good problem to have. One of the key things in all of this is the first week of practice for the four sports I just mentioned. That will be on Monday, August the 17th. And the first week of practice is going to be focusing on implementing effective protocols and routines for the pre-participation screenings, effective social distancing, and of course, compliance with all health recommendations. And the big thing is establishing the pod limits of 25 or less. And these are all things that football and volleyball are going to be able to assess too as they prepare for their seasons in the spring. So this is really an important time. There's still plenty of planning, still plenty of discussions going on with our advisory committees, but certainly things are off on the right foot.
I know for fans, many are asking us, and I mean daily, Tim, and I mean maybe once, twice, three times a day in our little radio station where we'll get emails or questions or, you know, even if I'm out and about, literally wearing a mask and people know, hey, Tuck, let me ask you a question. What do you think about this, this, or this? Well, the biggest question I think that now people are starting to ask us is, well, with games being able to be played, will fans be able to attend? And it seems like for some, they might be able to. What do you think from the State High School League perspective is the best guidance for fans right now that would like to watch a soccer game, a tennis match, go out to a cross-country event? What do you feel is the best guidance for fans at this point?
It's patience. Patience at this point until some of these things are determined. We are taking guidelines from the National Federation in Indianapolis on this. We're also taking guidance from the CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health in being able to safely implement how many participants, how many fans can be allowed in venues. Streaming is certainly going to be an important component here in fans being able to see games. We're working on that piece right now. It's going to come down to local districts making decisions on what they feel safest. As you know, some of the opponents for each of these activities are going to be very localized. It's going to be conference and section opponents only. So we've got activities administrators now who are busy redoing schedules in anticipation of these fall sports kicking off next Monday, August the 17th. So again, I think it's patience right now is to determine how this plays out and following these guidelines, if fans are allowed to view or not.
The one thing, too, that I think from a media perspective, and like you know, Tim, we're a small station, but we have an interesting spot because we're not quite in the cities and we're just out of the city. So we have our own little niche down here in Hastings, Prescott, Cottage Grove, that spot here. And I think for many of us now, we're kind of going, well, we're going to have to rely on KDWA a lot more. And for us, for me in the sports department, I'm going, yeah, that, I mean, that's what we want. We want more listenership. And Tim, you are a former scribe yourself. I know John Millay is also at the State High School League. You guys have covered the beat for so long, for so many years, for the Pioneer Press, Star Tribune, and, you know, papers and publications and everything. What kind of a partnership do you see, especially this year, increasing between the State High School League and small media entities to get some of the product out there to help fans and grandma and grandpa that can't come out to watch? What will be the importance of us small guys here within the state to get some of this back to everybody to maintain some normalcy?
Well, I tell you, Radio Tuck, our partnership with our media partners is going to take a step to a whole different level, and that's so important. We love our radio partnerships and our media partnership with other groups. The importance of now having the ability to share the information, be able to share games and results is now even more crucial than ever, especially if there is going to be limited fan attendance. We are working on models right now on how the media can effectively cover these games. The High School League is engaging with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and forming a new partnership there. So we've got all sorts of things going on in the background to be able to, how do we best make sure that our student athletes, our communities, our member schools get the coverage that they so richly deserve. So just because the decisions were made last week, the work still definitely continues on developing some of these models in what's really an ever-changing climate, as you're aware.
We're going to have a big soccer schedule, Tim, this year, which is going to be a lot of fun. Being a former Raider soccer player myself, I think that you might hear some of the accents come out on the air, Tim, and you might have a couple of different voices a tuck, if you know what I mean. We're going to have some fun this fall, man, so hopefully you get a chance to tune in maybe once or twice. I think you'd enjoy that, Timmy. It'd be pretty fun.
I always enjoy following your coverage, that's for sure.
Hey, there's a couple coaches. I mean, think about volleyball and football coaches and whatnot. We'll have Coach Strain on this week, and I know Coach Strain is so awesomely laid back and cool, and you probably know Coach Strain a little bit just from time to time talking to him, and, you know, he's just going to say, you know what, Tuck, we're going to take this with a grain of salt, and we're going to make the best of it, and that's just how Coach is. But what advice would you give to some of these football and volleyball coaches right now, Tim? And I would assume a lot of it revolves around the advice we just gave to fans and being patient, but what do you kind of say to those coaches, especially the outstate coaches that are kind of smaller schools, really not knowing what to expect? What would you say to them as we kind of get away from what's going to come up here this fall?
Well, this certainly is a different situation that we're in, but also I'm a glasses half full kind of person, and I embrace it. I embrace the difference. It's a change. It's going to be certainly memorable. Years from now, they are going to remember the school year of 2020-21 and remember it for its uniqueness. Look at our culture that's going on around us. This is definitely a unique time for co-curriculars across the country. And so embrace the change. I think it can be very positive. So that's the advice I would give moving forward.
You are a closet Hastings Raider fan, and I don't know how many people really know that about you or not. Now, like we said, you had a wonderful career and with so many memories, man. When it comes to covering high school sports, I imagine all of the cool things you've been a part of in your career, and me now in 18 years of covering sports, not even I don't think even getting close to matching that quite yet. You have a lot of memories, and some of them revolve around Raider teams, being here in Hastings or in St. Paul or Minneapolis, great coaches, the rich tradition of ADs we've had, and you've worked intently with many of them. Kind of tell fans, I mean, a lot of our Raider listeners that are listening, you have a fond spot in your heart for Blue and Gold Nation, don't you?
I absolutely do, and just to share, I was a sports writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press for 31 years before taking the job with the Minnesota State High School League. I'm in my sixth year with the high school league already, and when I knew I was going to be visiting with you, the memories of Raider Nation just began to flood, and all of them make me smile. If you'll indulge me, I would like to share one little anecdote, because I'm very hopeful that your listeners on each side of the Mississippi River realize what a gem they have in Nick Tuckner for his incredible professionalism and the way he is able to paint a picture. When he is at a game, he's able to paint a picture for the listener so they know exactly what's happening. And here's a vivid memory of that. And Nick, you might remember this. It was a football game at Woodbury High School. I couldn't even tell you if it was a regular season game or if it was a playoff game. I'm thinking it might have been a playoff game.
Yep, it was sections.
Okay, that blue plywood press box at Woodbury High School was so crammed with people, and because you are radio royalty, you were allowed to get a window seat. I was just a lowly scribe. I had to assume a position with my back up against the press box wall. I could see nothing because it must have been cold that night too. But anyway, I couldn't see anything. I thought I was in big trouble because here I had to cover this game for the Pioneer Press. But all of a sudden, you started calling the play and I didn't need to see anything. Your call was so vivid and so accurate, and I believe the Twitter was around then. I was actually tweeting from the back of the press box off of your call. I don't know that I really saw one play, but I heard the entire game through your call. And I remember emailing you the next day thanking you for that, and I was just really, really impressed. And that's when I really, really discovered the wonders of Radio Tuck and how good he is and what a professional he is, because you guided me, and I'm assuming that you guide your listeners through as well. So well done on your part. So that was always a fun memory for sure.
That's just payback for all the years I was able to read you growing up, and whether a Raider Nation was in the paper or not, it was always a pleasure to get up in the morning and read something about one of my buddies from Hastings High School or whatever it might have been in study hall, and Mrs. Wakefield going, what are you guys reading again? And then we'll show and we'd show her, and she'd be like, ah, your prep spot again. And of course, who was the author on that? Mr. Tim Layton, of course, yes.
And I was very fortunate to be able to be at the Pioneer Press during the golden age of sports journalism when it came to newspapers. And I was under the tutelage of a Charlie Walters and Greg Wong and Mike Augustine and legendary newspaper characters. And I was very fortunate to be able to be in the business with them as my mentors. They showed me the way. And so I was very proud of the high school coverage that the Pioneer Press was able to produce for all those years. And we really were able to carve out our niche in terms of prep sports coverage. And as you and I have visited about, when I think about Hastings, I think about just those coaches. Paul Veit, the former wrestling coach, is one of my all-time favorites. And, of course, the Bob Majeski and Jerry Rupp. And then how about that all-star list of ADs you've had? Don Miller, Tom Johnson, and now Trent Hansen. It's incredible. I think of Aaron Diddy on the girls' basketball side. It's just an incredible. And how about that run that Hastings had? Russ Welch was coaching boys' hockey, and it was that group that won, what, football and hockey and baseball. And, you know, the joke was there must have been something in the water in Hastings because it was an incredible group. I'm sure you remember that.
That was our group, actually. I graduated in 99, Tim, from Hastings High School. So that was my group. And the reason people always ask me, they're like, well, Tuck, you didn't get to play on those hockey teams. You know, I don't remember you playing. Well, no. The reason why I didn't play is because I was playing junior gold those years, because guess who the starting goaltenders were for the Hastings Raiders? Ben Utek.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not going to beat him out for a spot. And Matt Klein, who also went to UMD and played. So we had two Division I athletes. And it's like, well, why didn't Tuck play? Well, we had the best crop of athletes Hastings had ever seen back then. And I don't think I'm too angry about that, Timmy.
You know, I remember doing a Prep Athlete of the Week feature on Ben Utek. And back in those days, it was before email. So we would have to round up a picture of the athlete that we're featuring. And I can recall driving to Hastings and going up the stairs to Ben Utek's home and knocking on the door. And then he addressed me by Mr. I was Mr. Layton. There's only one other student athlete that addressed me as Mr. and still addresses me that way. And that's Joe Maurer. Even when I was covering the Twins with the Pioneer Press, whenever I saw Joe, it was always Mr. Layton. And so those kinds of things that makes you smile, very special. I don't know if you recall this, but our first year, the league's first year in the U.S. Bank Stadium for the Prep Bowl, we invited Ben
yes.
to come and sing the national anthem for us, and oh my goodness, did he just hit a grand slam with that singing. I was so impressed, and I knew he was an incredible singer, but I brought my wife to the Chanhassen Dinner Theater to listen to him give his holiday concert, and oh, what a treat that was. And me being the music coordinator with the league, I have a special fondness for student participants who are multi-talented, the ones who take advantage of those opportunities to be not only in athletics but also the fine arts as well.
I know Benny, he listens quite a bit still, and he will definitely appreciate hearing you bring back some of those fond memories, and just one of many here in Hastings. And I know you and I could share so many more, my man. We're out of time, but you know, you and I are going to talk again. We have so much fun stuff that we could talk about, and you know that you and I could probably talk for hours on end anyway. So I appreciate your time, my man, and let's catch up soon. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you as well. You know, Radio Tuck, it's always a great time visiting with you, and I smile during our conversation. I have memories of Hastings and the great coverage there, and just the great people that are there to work with, and it's always fun to visit. So I appreciate your time as well.
He is Tim Layton. He's the communications coordinator and the music coordinator for the Minnesota State High School League, and you can better believe you'll hear him with me again sometime coming up soon, and we appreciate it and everything the State High School League does for our kids. We'll have more on KDWA right after this.